Infinite Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Infinite Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 11th on the West Coast, now August the 12th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I want to welcome also those who may be listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. And, wow, today's been a very busy day, very exciting day. I've heard some great radio on a couple of networks. I got to listen to Drew Malone Raines on A Marine's Disquisition. Fantastic show he did with Dr. A. Truat today. And I know many people are tuning in tonight. Hopefully they got to hear a show I did with him on the micro effect. This evening, and we're just breaching at several topics, actually, that are pretty important. We're connecting dots, and I want to salute Dr. Ott for all the tremendous research he's done to awaken people to what's going on. People around the world are paying attention. And we're going to talk about things that are going on around the world tonight with our guest. He came to this show via Dr. A. Truat and his participation on many, many shows, anything from coast to coast. He's been on many of the Patriot networks. Of course, Dr. Rott's show, The Story Behind the Story, he's actually a pretty regular guest on that show, and he's showing up here quite a bit as well. He is a polymer chemist and a chemtrail opposition researcher. We're getting a lot of questions about chemtrails. They seem to have subsided substantially. And then in some places, people are saying, wow, we're really getting hit. So we're going to try to give you an update on that issue from someone who spent a number of years sharing his information with the general public as to his findings and what's going on in regard to the poisoning of our skies and nature and humanity. I welcome back to Evident Footprints tonight my good friend, Dr. Michael Castle. Dr. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Don, and good evening. And to the listeners, good evening.
Okay, if you can, please make sure your microphone is very close because you got real quiet on me there.
I got real quiet on you. Okay.
There you go. Okay.
All right. Yeah, wasn't certain what it was. But anyways, appreciate your introduction. And as I told you earlier, I feel like after your show with Dr. Ott, I feel like I'm walking amongst giants here. You know, but, you know, I'll still tell the same story about what I've been talking about for 12 years now. Been a long haul, but then again, it's been a very aberrant trail. It's led in so many different directions. And, you know, and now it leads us into, well, outside of the normal reign of questions of what they are, chemtrails, in fact, are poison. They've been sprayed for a long time. Not to do, in fact, to do a brief on it. It's not necessary if one just understands that the poisoning of the sky continues. Now, we've heard a lot of reports that over to the West Coast that it's been subsided for quite some time. Then a couple of possibly days, you know, ever since June. Well, so that's kind of consistent. But then if you're in Ohio, you know that, in fact, they still blaze the skies up on a routine and almost scheduled basis. Mm-hmm. And it's very aberrant, the types of systems that they're throwing in front of these fronts coming through. But nonetheless, we're still getting the rain of benzenes. That seems to be subsiding to somewhat, but nonetheless, it's still a chem rain, not just a chem trail. So, All these things are just mixed in the soup right now, and it's international in scope to the point where we've got reports that there's heavy chemtrailing in some parts of Malaysia, the Philippines. It occurs across the world, across the globe. I don't have any idea about China, but you notice that that's been put forward by the Illuminati, in fact, to show that geoengineering and controlling your weather is a good thing. And they're promoting that heavily. That's their wedge trying to get into the brain of humans, in fact, who think it'd be better if we just controlled the weather. Look at all the aberrant weather that's occurring across this globe right now, Don. Mm-hmm. I mean, very aberrant weather. I believe this is the stage dress rehearsal to other events, but they're doing it like have aberrant weather will travel or have it wicked weather will travel. They're hitting every place. They're getting Antarctic weather, in fact, coming up. It's just unbelievable how these things happen, but it froze so many marine life and aquatic form. It's unbelievable, but they froze to death in essentially a subtropical climate. But they're pouring waters. They're doing all sorts of things with the electronics, as well as with the chemicals. But but it is in fact just a pretext. It's a pretext.
Mm-hmm.
Look what they're doing. I mean, and it's just not chemtrail based. They've unleashing this weather weapon. I mean, in full force.
Yeah. If we were, I don't hear many people talk about the inception of chemtrails, and I've talked to people in Colorado, many have over the years called into the show and mentioned they started spraying our skies around 1995, referring to Denver and the mountainous regions there. In your research, Where were you discovering the initial reports were coming from?
Well, actually, in 1990, about 98, in fact, I took a very serious look because I was still an active pilot at the time. And I started taking a very, very serious look at weather conditions, weather cloud systems, actually aberrant cloud formations. As you're climbing up through a certain altitude, there's like a layer here. And I'm not kidding you, it's just like a layer, and you would climb up through that. Well, that wasn't anything related to being dew point, freeze point, crystalline ice, or anything like that. This wasn't at that high of an altitude. But I noticed all these things, in fact, you couldn't see 10 miles on a clear day for VFR flight. When you get up to above a certain altitude, you could not see at the horizon at 20 miles. You couldn't see anything. So that's when I started taking a very, very close look at it. And what I was finding was after doing the research, in fact, which put me on the premises, if you will, of are there such thing as these somebody spraying these chemicals out of the thing. I heard Will Thomas on Art Bell's show back in about 1998, I think it was, when I first heard about that word chemtrails. And that's what, in fact, put me on that path to end up on that show January of the year 2000. I was on that Art Bell show that night. So, and that was my introduction into the whole thing. And what I found out was that they jumped on me immediately. Didn't know that at the time, but sure did sense that something was horribly wrong. They had launched this. In fact, they had dispatched an entire detail out to, in fact, track down and sequester investigations of this one particular arena called the chemtrails. And they dispatched somebody from the U.S. Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Almost like an agent, in fact, to an employment place. And, in fact, that's when the whole thing started working against me, just to, in fact, pull me out of that line of questioning. I had no vocal. I had no piece of except being on Art Bell's show. So you have to understand that all these things are tied into that period there. That was 2000, so it was from 2000 on, but and it just grows exponentially, Don, of how many places this thing that's been called the chemtrails are. And no, I don't, in fact, I'm not politically correct, and I'm not going to call it persistent, consistent trails or some other type of administrative type of dialect like that. I don't believe in that kind of crap anymore. But they are chemtrails because I know they've got chemicals in them. There's nothing else that you can call them. And because that, in fact, is very inconvenient to say to some people, I don't care. They're chemtrails.
Yeah, it's not this phenomenon of crystallization of humidity at high altitudes when the weather is 95 degrees in midsummer, and they're spewing these fumes out of airplanes that are flying between 10 and 20,000 feet. When we were children, I certainly can recall, when I was a child, I can recall looking at jets flying way up there in the stratosphere, and you would see a contrail, and almost as quickly as the contrail appeared, it disappeared. It always was the same length behind the craft, and as that craft moved through the air, you would see that contrail follow it. This is something totally different when it's being sprayed into the air. It lingers, it spreads out, drops down onto the ground under certain circumstances, and especially the timing. In Ohio, we first saw chemtrails nonstop on September 12th, 2001, the day after 9/11. And immediately they started putting out this explanation for why we were seeing this, that we would see X's in the sky. And, of course, X is a symbol for Satan, and they would spray an X over one area and move a few miles and spray another X. And if you looked in all four directions from where you were standing, you might see 10 to 20 of these X's as far as one could see in the horizon, depending on where you were standing. You know, if it wasn't blocked by buildings, tall buildings or trees, you could see this all about you. And the explanation they gave was that this signified that they had searched the area for terrorists, and they had marked it that had been determined that it was safe. So why didn't they spray chemtrails over Afghanistan, over the caves?
In Ohio I know of two entire pentagrams that were placed in the area at about a 30 degree arc from where I'm located to the east. Two entire pentagrams. Matter of fact, one of them was so prominent I even called the local Franklin County Sheriff's Office. In fact. And then I couldn't get a hold of anybody, but in fact, I sent Mr. Wheeler at the sheriff's office, sent him a communication that there was a pentagram right east of us, because he was into this. He don't believe in that kind of stuff, so he turned it over to somebody over in Franklin County. He says some environmental detachment. I don't know. It's all feds anyways. So my complaint about chemtrails, which is withstanding for quite a few years now, many, many years, that's going to breach open. But see, they don't want to believe. So I do things like that. I get other people, whether they want to or not, I get them to recognize what I'm telling them is factual. And no, I won't take a picture of a pentagram.
Mm-hmm. Now, what comes to mind, you reminded me of, for some reason, something you said reminded me of an airline's insider, a mechanic who had been asked to do sort of double duty. His job was working on, as I recall the story, sort of wing mechanics and that type of stuff, you know, safety checks and repairs. And there was one particular day when a worker who did the laboratory work on that passenger plane. This was a commercial plane, called in sick or whatever. They needed him to pull some extra duty, so he goes to the back of the plane. And in the process of going into a hidden compartment behind the lavatory in the at the aft section of the plane, near the tail, actually, he discovered some tanks and pumps and traced them and compared those to the computer printouts. He wanted to know what he was looking at to, so he would determine how he's going to check it. At least this is a story that came out, okay? Whether or not it was true, he alleged that after he went home that evening, he went online and began looking at this topic. He realized that these tanks were connected to hoses that were connected to spray nozzles, some affixed to the wings, some in the tail section of the plane. And
the spark arresters, the trailing edge.
Yeah. And as I recall the story, he was either warned about it or virtually fired on the spot. I don't recall exactly, but it's as if to say, investigating this means that there are no chemtrails, you know, or somebody sticking their nose in that business where it doesn't belong means there are no chemtrails. However,
oh, yeah, and that was reinforced also by everyone's experience if, in fact, they dare, in fact, ask that question in public. But back then, not only did I ask that question in public, I was in an interview which was set up through TV2 there in Dayton, Ohio. And actually, Kim Dolly and Griff had something to do with – I know Griff had something to do with – or Kim did at Kim Weber at the time with getting that interview set up. So anyways, they came out and interviewed me and Carl Day there at TV2 in Dayton. He, in fact, is the one that done the interview there in Lewisburg, Ohio, where I was at the time. And, man, they were just painting the sky that day. It was a blue sky, and they started painting it. And I, in fact, done this interview. It was on videotape on the local newscast, TV2, there, 2001. And so doing that interview with him, we were standing out there in that front lawn of where I used to live there in Lewisburg. And we were looking up at these massive trails, and one was just let go, if you will. They had just got done with the application of this one. Not 2 minutes before these people got there. That's when that first appeared. I watched the craft. He was really trucking, man. He was booking east. So anyways, when we got to the interview, he said, Mr. Castle, he said, are you saying that, in fact, these chemtrails fall to the ground? And I said, yes, they do. I said, they have ground fall, and it's, in fact, 4 to 6 hours. I had figured out back then, it takes about 4 to 6 hours for that mass of, I called it fuzziness back then, to get into the local atmosphere, because it's so fine. You know, it's aerosolized in its form, and it's designed, in fact, to stay up in the air a much longer time based on their planular shape, their aerodynamic, if you will. But these little aerosols, in fact, do make it back to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So in that interview, I in fact, told him, I said, we're inhaling these right now. And he said, you say they have properties of being cancer-causing. And I said, yes, and we're breathing them right now. That's when this look of horror came on this man's face, Carl Day, because he, in fact, was in remission with a cancer at the time of the interview, which I didn't. I had just found that out.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, Carl Day, I know he recalls me, but there was no follow-up to the interview. As a matter of fact, when they checked with the U.S. Air Force for that very story, in fact, the Air Force, in fact, said that it was all a hoax, and all this information that I, in fact, had talked about on that interview, in fact, was unreal. But, in fact, they just said it was a hoax. And see, there's the seed that they planted back then to get away with being involved in this thing at the front line, Don, the U.S. air farce. I refuse to call it a force anymore. It's an air farce. Mm-hmm. And in fact, because of their deployment, their literal takeover by some species of commanders, officers or whatever, Pentagon, DOD, ET, and a partridge in a pear tree agencies. I mean, you got all these things coming into the U.S. Air Force and all of DOD, and folks, they are not real people. They are not human.
Well,
they're something
that,
else, but nonetheless, they're here, and they've been spraying these things for a long time.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off. That sort of segues into Morgellons and the evil little demons that are being seen in the magnification of both the webs that these sometimes create or are created when they fall down to the ground, when they, let's say, escape a particular airstream that they have determined is going to suspend it a certain amount off the ground. But there's a deterioration that's occurring, and if you've ever noticed, sometimes they're spraying huge chemtrails, and you turn your back for 10 or 15 minutes, and they're gone. Now, I've done shows with Ken Adachi where we've mm-hmm. talked about sylphs, and we've gotten people around the world to report about that. Some people like to call it cloud busting. This was actually taught in my early research many years ago. Dr. Joseph J. Weed, who was the head of the Weed Television Corporation and was a Rosicrucian and was teaching in a book called Wisdom of the Mystic Masters, talked about the very technique of evaporating clouds with one's mind or one's sight or one's heart, actually. Mm-hmm. Not to be destructive, but actually this technique and orgone technologies also work on dispelling chemtrails. So sometimes there is a person out there that's actually willing or praying that these things disappear. Other times they dissipate. You could say it's a different cocktail that's intended to fall or to dissipate in a manner where it seems to have just disappeared. Not traveled, not spread out in the usual manner that you see when you have clear blue skies and a half an hour to an hour later, everything is solidly overcast. And there's no storm reported, no weather front reported by Doppler radar on any of the internet outlets that offer that feature or even on mainstream news. Or the Weather Channel, for example. Do they ever talk about chemtrails on the Weather Channel? Of course not.
No.
So what I'm getting at is that there are many phenomena that occur also in this. I notice sometimes they're out there spraying. This is a new technique they're using. I call it dotted lines. It looks like a dotted line. It's not a continuous streak.
A tick line.
Yeah.
A tick line.
Okay. Right. And usually after we see those, we get bad weather. There's a really humongous weather front that comes in seemingly out of nowhere. And they can predict whether it's going to be cloudy. They can predict whether we're going to have a tornado or tornadic activity. They can predict if we're going to have a tropical storm or a hurricane with tremendous accuracy. But there are days when they can't tell you if it's going to rain or not, you know, and they never tell you it's going to be overcast because of chemtrails. That's a no-no. Okay.
No. TV2 Dayton, Ohio, I was talking about earlier, they got threatened with we're going to take your license if you bring up chemtrails again on this TV station. That's what they were threatened with. And I've had that validated. So, yeah, I know. It's kind of like, you ain't going to believe this. You know, the trying to understand some of the science, none of this fits science anyways, Don, but to understand their macabre technologies The tick line, I found out way back in 2003 that most of the tick lines were representative at that time with Morgellons, because they were using a spinneret, fibers spinneret technology that went out the aft end of the plane in what they call an eductor nozzle configuration. Those tick lines existed because this was the pulse of the pump of the mixture of the two parts. And that was the length and stroke of the arm, because this is pumped. It's a cationic reaction. It reacts immediately, but it actually reacts outside the aircraft in this eductor nozzle, which in fact spins this to ultrasonic speeds, if you will. And it's reacting I looked at their chemistries and what they put into this stuff. It's just, okay, but the point is, the tick line to me used to, when I heard that, I knew that there in fact was dispensing the Morgellons fibers, if you will. But there's so much more than just the Morgellons fibers. But what it sounds like, based on what you just got done saying a moment ago, those in fact precede some really bad storms, and you know, they can't even predict the rain, okay? So if that's the case, then they've graduated to using that type of technology, if you will, and it's brimming full of something like ethylene dibromide.
Mm-hmm.
to rip water cells completely wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that they've been doing that. And yes, they are.
Yeah, and
exactly what it is.
Not to sound out there, you know, Canadacci has done a tremendous amount of video and photographic work with chemtrails, and he would send me crops of sylphs. And once you learn to see these, you can be someplace outside having a picnic with your family, look up at some clouds and notice sylphs are up there. And it's not by accident that this cloud has ears, eyes, nose, mouth, chin, sometimes wearing a hat. I mean, it sounds crazy to somebody that doesn't study this, but when you look at this and you see it and you begin to recognize this on your own, there's a consciousness, there's an awareness that there's something else going on besides these illusions. And certainly the explanations that we're giving are just nonsensical. You mentioned the air farce you refer them to. In my ufology research and my ifology research, that's the identified flying object research, I came across the latest of the official U.S. Air Force declarations about whether or not flying saucers exist. And I think this came out in 96 or 97. And it was something very ambiguous that said, in effect, I'm going to just paraphrase, that there's nothing about flying saucers that we don't understand. As if that somehow means that they don't exist. But it's a loaded statement. They're literally saying we're building them and we're flying them. And I know that to be the case, as do many, many other people.
Well, you said ambiguous. That was the right word.
Yeah, I need to look that word up and see what it means.
No, that means you fall on both sides for the most part. Yeah. Yeah, it can mean one or two things, and they're just probably opposite. So that's how they do things anyways.
Yeah. So I'm using that as an example, because that certainly doesn't dispel the fact that millions and millions of people have seen these craft over many years. Many, many years. They've seen them. And if you can wrap your mind around that, how is it so difficult to not notice that airplanes, even some passenger planes, unmarked planes, military planes, are spraying the skies? And large populations of deer and antelope and birds and all kinds of ground critters, you know, the ones that like to hide in the tall grass and underneath the shrubbery or inside the cave, they're all being discovered in mass dying in certain areas. And we always get some kind of food disaster, usually when those reports come out. Now, the question is, who's putting out those reports? Well, they seem to be well-researched, documented. In some cases, they even are accompanied with real photographs, not the Photoshop jobs that we get from the politicians or commissions in investigating, allegedly investigating, false flag events, you know. So we see these anomalies, and people are looking for answers. And there are a lot of reasons why the truth about these things is coming to us, because everything in the universe is changing. We don't need to be told by a usurper that he's going to bring us change. Change is what is, was, and always will be here. The universe is constantly changing. And there are domains throughout the universe where evil is perpetrated. There's no doubt. And I can tell you, just by what we witness on this planet alone, that this has to be one of the worst places as far as evil is concerned, and devising demonic programs and systems to perpetuate this evil. I mean, tell me one good thing a chemtrail does. You know, I don't think you can think of one.
No. I don't believe there are two paradigms for that. There's only one. It all goes down the dark road, all down the dark pathway, every one of them. There's nothing good about chemtrails, nothing. Those, in fact, that are trying and attempting and failing so unbelievably, it's just staggering, but they don't seem to care. But they're faltering. They're faltering very, very massively. And in doing so, it's their rude, their crude technologies that they've devised, and they've are using other technologies that in fact build onto that same machine, this big machine, which also existed in a movie. I understand that, but I didn't see the movie. But this machine in fact operates in so many different planes, and it's just, well, Don, I have to
airplanes,
say
you're speaking of airplanes, or when you say planes, are you speaking dimensionally?
Dimensionally,
okay.
Planes, yeah, planes. Not Iowa. I'm speaking of. Well, but you really can't cap it, you know, as being just one part of the machine to do many things. No, the chemtrails, in fact, are intrinsically linked to exactly what their final chapter is probably going to be, and that is, in fact, the full replication and takeover of the pineal gland. So you've got zero connection to spirituality or God, period. And, you know, there are ways that we do know that you're after that particular glandular section of all humans. But then again, now that we know that, we're doing things to offset that as fast as we can. But there's their ultimate weapon is, in fact, to take over the human species with this stuff called a polycrystalline array. Just exactly what David Icke said, a polycrystalline array. That's what I wrote about. It's supposed to, in fact, be tuned to the same thing as a radio telescope in frequency. And believe me, I'll assure you it is a transceiver.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's no doubt. It's a medium, so it's intended to receive and transmit.
Absolute control medium, yes. Yeah. And that's the bad bots. That's the Zeb. That's the snake bots.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't going to happen, though.
Yeah, there's a lady named, pardon me if it's the wrong name, but I think it's Jan Brown, who has been doing a tremendous amount of research.
Smith.
Jan Smith, is it?
Oh, if what? It's Morgellons, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, then I'm corrected already. Good.
Oh, you got brown out of that story that Trug was telling earlier this evening. That's what it was.
No, not at all. For some reason, I thought it was Jan Brown, but maybe it's Jan Smith.
Well, if it's Valt Morgellon, I can
tell
you.
Did correct me.
More than likely, it's Jan Smith.
I'll trust that you have the right name.
All right. Well, go ahead and say what you're going to say, then I'll let you know.
Yeah, I listened to her speak, and she speaks quite eloquently about the topic from the perspective of a victim. She speaks about Morgellons, mm-hmm. this disease. I remember bringing this up as a caller on Bill Deagle's show back in 2006, and I proposed that chemtrails and Morgellons was directly linked. There was no reason to think Morgellons came from anything else other than that. Now, there could be things in food or in water or in pharmaceutical drugs, vaccines, even foods touted to be healthy that could possibly create the environment within one's body and one's immune system to succumb to what chemtrails could do. And it seems to be that a certain group of people are coming down with Morgellons, that it's targeted
yes,
for a particular DNA pattern. And I think, if I recall, and I don't know if I heard it from her, I think I did, that there's an RNA influence in this. Okay, we're making a difference between ribonucleic acid and deoxynucleic acid. So the DNA is the makeup of the body, and the acids that are that eventually form into the physical realm and are, you know, moving from one aspect to another through nature and through biological organisms, that the RNA is the method through which this is happening. It's a very interesting concept that she brought forth. And she describes some things that I've seen you get these emails. She may have been the source of these photographs, where we see what you're talking about, polycrystalline arrays, and we've seen the examples of that. I think I showed you a crop that I did of one of these little critters that was inside that. She had magnified it, and I did a crop of what looked like a hexagon, and inside the hexagon was this little creature. I'm looking at it, and I enlarged it as much as I could without it pixelating or becoming blurred so you couldn't make out what it was. And there was this little orange, devilish-looking thing with black eyes and a mouth and ears. And this is similar to some of the things that we see in cloud formations. So here we have a microscopic version of that same thing. And she touched on this biological entity aspect of what's going on, and the different studies that she's done on the fibers that Morgellons victims are pulling out of various sores that become pustules or sort of boil-like, and they burst open, and here you have these fibers, and they're pulling them out, and they're looking at them under microscopes, mm-hmm. and studying them. And studying the chemistry that's involved. And so there's a pattern that's emerging from this, which is far beyond saying, well, you know, that's all imagination. I witnessed in December of 2006 in Phoenix, Arizona, really from Prescott all the way to Phoenix, Arizona, nonstop chemtrailing. I think we counted 64 planes in the sky simultaneously. And they were doing either setting up a tic-tac-toe game or checkers. And by the time I got to Phoenix, you couldn't see across the street at the airport. You could stand in front of the entrance of the airport and look across the street, literally couldn't see across the street.
I was in Las Vegas the very same way, many times. Same, you couldn't see across the airfield itself, let alone seeing a plane in it. It was horrible.
Yeah. It's the most massive amount of chemtrailing I've seen in any one place. I'm not saying that it is the most targeted area, but for some reason, around Christmas of 2006, that was that was a target. And you remember I said the X's, X is a satanic symbol. There's no doubt about it. It's used in all their symbology, and they use it in naming corporations and internet companies, and you know wherever they can sneak that little X in there, they do, and you see them in the skies. But that day there were no X's. It was vertical and horizontal lines, and there seemed to be a language going on as to where one was supposed to stop spraying and start in another direction. You would see these little loops that they created every few miles. And out there in the southwest, you can see for miles and miles and miles. And the closer we got to Phoenix, the more obscure everything got.
Right.
There were a few times along the roadway that you thought you were going into a fog bank in the middle of the desert. You know.
Yeah, I've been down in that same area during that same period of time.
Now, what would be the explanation, you know, for doing that on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day in a major city? Across half the state, mind you.
No. Well, it was all a matter of manipulating. I mean, whether they in fact plan to have snow or not. But I remember there were some times that they've had snow down there that they just weren't expecting. And it probably was in about somewhat of that timeline. Could be.
Oh, listen, yeah. I mean, we're speaking Christmas, but it's not like up in the north or the northwest or up in the mountains, you know.
It's in the desert.
Midwest or the east coast, you know, north. You're in the desert, and it was very hot. I certainly wouldn't say it was anywhere near snowing. It was too hot. There were no clouds. It was just chemtrails, nonstop right. Chemtrails as far as you could see. Now, why is that significant? Well, it seems to be this plan of targeting certain populations. Some of the first cases of Morgellons were coming out of the state of Texas. And then
that's true. Yeah, Texas, yeah. Oklahoma. I got my first samples of the yellers and the blues and the clears. I got three separate samples wound up on a pencil stick. That was in 2003. I got those from some guy in Oklahoma who sent them to me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really know if I wanted them, but I got them anyways. And I had those for years. But I just had this intuitive back then, Don, not to keep those in the house. So I took the package and put it out in my metal file cabinet in the garage. And that's where they stayed for a very, 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 very long time, years, through winter, through summer, whatever. I just kept them back there because I knew that even back then I had gotten information to say that these things will crawl right through a glass jar. They will come out of a glass jar. And then they started sending me all the information that they, in fact, could glean from early analyses and growing some of these things in Petri dish form by a lot of people. And I just remember the abrupt cries that I heard that they were that this is extremely hazardous substances, unknown fungal forms. This is what these people were saying at these analytical laboratories, in fact, were telling them about what they couldn't tell them or give them an analysis for, because apparently that had all been sequestered, that had been shut down. But I remember the cries of this horrible thing, and it wasn't anybody faking either. they were telling the truth.
So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to comment on your thing about the tank configuration. And I'd interviewed an old engineer, actually, with Boeing Aircraft years ago. And this was in 2002 possibly. And I flew out the saddle, met this lady, her name is Sherry, met her dad, who worked for Boeing Aircraft, who had just retired. And we went to this right on the front of the waterfront there. It's just gorgeous location. We had a delicious meal. And I didn't know these people. They just knew that, in fact, they'd heard my voice on the radio talking about chemtrails. So she wanted to know what this was because of her daughter. Well, I sat there across the table from this very, very honorable man and worked as a life Boeing aircraft and probably knew everything there was to know about engineering an aircraft and those particular things. But so I asked him about this five tank configuration that mechanic that you spoke of, one of them that they interviewed once before, found what was called the five tank configuration. Okay, a Boeing 737, only has four tanks. And it goes by based on what they are. But they had this fifth tank. So I asked this gentleman across the table that question. He looked at me like I must have said the most horrible, vile, wicked, bad word anybody could say.
Like, where's the certificate of life?
I scared the devil out of this man. I really did. He would not speak to me the rest of the night. And here I was up there just trying to meet this lady who, in fact, wanted to know something about Morgellons. What is this stuff? And it was bizarre. It was bizarre at the very most. But nonetheless, the man told me that he, in fact, had got some verification that there had been other types of components put on aircraft that he just really had never seen before. One of them was a configuration which put most of the spray system out through the static eductors, the static drag lines on the very tail end of the aircraft, the horizontal stabilizer. In fact, these drags, in fact, were, I think there was six to eight on that particular aircraft model, 737. Mm-hmm. But anyways, this is how the entire system worked. Okay, all right, forget about all that. But her daughter was behexed by some type of demonic thing that this lady could not explain to me. I did meet the girl. Seemed perfectly normal, maybe a little bit scared, but this is what this woman kept telling me, was that, is there some connection to this Morgellons thing and what my daughter's sick with? I could not answer her at the time. I didn't know. But I know that, in fact, it is very intrinsically linked to something of that regard, somewhere there that is that thing, because she, too, was seeing these, like little demons in these hairs that she was pulling out of her arm.
Yeah, that's...
Demon faces and claws. And when I first seen the photographs that Staniger, not to endorse anything that she's done, but I remember getting those photographs, and I remember seeing these, like, hookworms with big claws on them, you know, and rhinoceroses, alligators. And you could see them in the heads of these things. Well, this is what this woman had also seen. So she was, nothing really came of anything. I gave her all the information I could give her. And in fact, I don't think we talked since. But at the same time, I just know where that was at in Washington, in the state of Washington. And it wasn't anything to believe what she had to tell me about how thick these things were. On some days, they were so thick. Right around the waterfront area, she said it was just insidious, mm-hmm. And she said you couldn't get anybody to look to believe what you were telling them, that these were somehow another harmful, and they made her daughter sick. But I mean, this was back in 2002. What I'm saying, Don, this was a long time ago, but it was the same thing. But I got them red, yellers, and blues, and I just never. in fact, went to the point of finding out exactly what they were, because I'd already heard that there were parts in there of bugs. This was before someone else done the analyses, like Clifford Carnicom, and in fact made some very good big inroads into describing what they were. But all these things are connected. And, when you talked about Stilts earlier, I was going to say, hey, haven't you all seen the floating Elvis laying on his hand? That's a sylph.
Yeah.
I've seen him. Ladies and gentlemen, the day Don Nikoloff came and visited, I noticed that day out on my back porch, man, there was all these sylphs, all the guys floating on their backs. Just floating on their backs. I'm thinking, well, what brought this? That was the day I met Don Nikoloff for the first time. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, he had an escort.
Now,
it's all good.
Yeah, there's another aspect, and I want to come back to this Morgellons thing because of some work Michael Anthony did and a nurse he was in touch with, a lady living up in Michigan. But you reminded me of an event that occurred August 25th, which I reported on the show, of 2009, on my way to the airport and back, they were literally covering the skies across the state of Ohio and the Toronto, Canada area and Lake Erie. They very quickly they brought out a huge number of fighter jets. These fighter planes were actually doing the spraying, and there were witnesses by other talk show hosts on mainstream AM radio that were witnessing this live, and I was not too far from the broadcast studios of this one network where they were giving live blow-by-blow accounts across the city of Cleveland, all around the Beltway, and these accounts ended up coming from Michigan and Northwest Ohio, the same accounts everywhere.
I heard about that, yes.
And that was to disguise what was going on, because there was a battle going on in space that would be seen by people on the street. They could not have people seeing this. This has been verified.
Yeah.
And it led to the discovery of an underground base underneath Lake Erie in the Euclid area. And there is a young man that has captured, and I reported this on the show, but it was on mainstream TV. Oh, they had to basically find some person walking down the street and saying, oh, it was an optical illusion. I mean, this is just, you know, somebody that looked like they just got their food stamps. And this was the expert to ask this question. But the young man presented the video, and they showed it, and the story got some airplay. And then it sort of died out, and fizzled out, and people didn't pay attention to it. But they use it for obfuscation. Let me say that.
Boy, when you trip on a word like that, well, I would too, you know.
I'm not even going to try to say it now.
Why it's like trying to say rubbery.
They're trying to hide what's really going on. Okay. I can say the word. It's just
obfuscatory, possibly.
I've been listening to Drew Raines too much now. Drew, I love you.
I heard about this.
Yeah, it was within a matter of, I'd say, 45 minutes, as I recall, that they pretty much had the skies completely blanketed with this thick amount of aerosol, these aerosol plumes. They had spread very rapidly. It was a different mix than the one we see on a regular day, although that was a pleasant day. We had blue, cloudless skies prior to that event. No adverse weather whatsoever. They had to hide what was going on. And people witnessed airplanes moving into what is anti-gravity mode. People saw the flashes from the bottom of the plane. He said they could see the whole bottom of the plane light up. Well, when you're on the ground looking up at a plane, that's all you do see is the bottom. You might see the side, depending on the altitude. But when it flies directly over your head, you're going to see the bottom of the plane light up. But I'm told the whole plane lights up when that occurs. So they didn't want us seeing this, but I saw it sitting at a light, traffic stop, near the airport, which was well within the visual range of this talk show host, who went outside for a cigarette break at the front entrance of the building where the studio was. And he's closer to the freeway that runs north and south from Cleveland and into the Akron area and Canton, those areas on, central and east central part of the state. And he saw the same flash and immediately ran in and after the break, commercial break, reported what he had seen. And I knew he was telling the truth because I saw the same thing. And I know many, many other people saw this. They were phoning into the show describing exactly what I was seeing. So we knew something was up. These were not towel-headed camel jockeys in Afghanistan causing this. Okay? So there is an element of ET in this, if you want to use that term. I've learned to call people visitors, but there are also very evil forces, and they are affiliated with this program. This is evil. This is pure evil being sprayed upon all life, all nature. And there's no getting around that. Now, if I can say briefly, and I want you to comment on this. This lady up in Michigan did some studies, and she had this problem that Jan Smith had. She was talking about these fibers. And I'm presuming Jan Smith is suffering from Morgellons, but is studying it. In any event, she's studying it, okay? From what I've heard, of an interview that Jeff Rentz conducted with her, she described many of the same things that this nurse up in the state of Michigan described. Michael Anthony was talking to her and advised her to take those samples that she had and look at them under a microscope, and she was trained to do so, and she said there are these little flies. They look like ash flies, but they're a little bit smaller. And they were able to determine that there are two species of these types of flies that come from South America and certain parts of Africa that have been sort of mixed into this chemtrail cocktail and develop into Morgellons. So it's targeting certain people with a certain DNA makeup, and it's much like AIDS was. It's been demonstrated by many researchers that AIDS is targeted towards certain ethnicities and or certain races. Many people's ethnic background has to do with their race, but they're two different things.
That's through the RNA as well.
And
that's what you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's exactly right. That's a really good way of describing it, too.
I don't take credit for that, but I suspected that the chemtrails were a direct link to Morgellons.
Mm-hmm.
And all these people describe the prolific spraying of the skies in the areas where they live nonstop over long periods of time. And for somebody that has to work outside, that's a death warrant if they're susceptible to that.
Mm-hmm.
I began on occasion examining my lawn or my neighbor's lawn, or I would go to another part of the state, and if I was out in a park or something, I'd look at closely at the grass in a park, for example, and I started seeing these flies. And there is a way that you can wash your lawn, actually. You can clean your lawn and rid it of these critters, because you don't want your animals, your pets, to pick this up. Certainly, you have children playing out in the yard. You don't want them getting it. And it's not to panic people, but these are, you know, ash flies like to hang out underneath rose petals, for example, underneath. That's one of their favorite places. The thorns are a deterrent to certain types of species that like to eat them, but it's a perfect breeding ground for them. And then the mold spores. And I recall Jan Smith talking about certain types of spores that she was seeing develop. They're mutating. And then there seems in the last few years to be an increase in certain types of mold. Not the black mold that you always hear about, as much as pink molds, especially in areas close to where you have a tap type of faucet, a city water supply.
Mm-hmm.
Might be in your bathtub or in the sink. People will say, well, I keep it clean, but I'm still getting this mold.
Well, and the mold and the color you describe are identical to what you would find out in something that, in fact, has a connective, a cytotoxin, in fact, which would be the same as the compound lithium carbonate. Lithium carbonate in the water. Well, I think Alex Jones just, in fact, done an expose on that here in the last week or so. So there's no question that lithium carbonate has been coming in from the air for quite some time because of its pink color. Take that down to Atlanta, Georgia, in about 2004, and you'll find the same thing with people, in fact, down there reporting to me on the internet, and also a couple of them by telephone, that there was this pink-colored material. It was like everywhere. I mean, not only just sunrise and sunset, but it was just like this pink aura around everything.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, that in fact was their larger metropolitan regional test in Atlanta, Georgia, on how it affected you and how did it change your behavior. Atlanta, how's that working for you? But see, the same thing is true in just the baseline reaction of lithium with air, in fact, to produce that particular color, whether it's in the form of something that's being excreted by a fungal form that we don't know what it is, but it's some type of mutation that they've, in fact, been able to beget between a bacterium and, in fact, the genase of something like the venom from a scorpion. And, in fact, they're able to, in fact, mutate that and grow something completely different. By the way, that's the same way they, in fact, started out with Starlink 810 yellow corn a long time ago. As a matter of fact, Monsanto got a patent on that. So you can't get more aberrant than what we're talking about. And you can see it all around you, just like you see the mold. But you also notice, I have noticed in nature itself, is it's like a slime. There's like a slime that's on everything. When mm-hmm. it gets wet, when it rains, there's a slime on everything. Well, I've also figured out that is the elemental reaction of ion activity of some of these compounds that are designed to be water soluble, and they're coated everything. The leaves of the grass, the trees, everything else, it's coated everything, obviously. And in fact, that is the slime from all this stuff, and that's why it is absolutely dangerous to walk out into newly rained upon grass in bare feet anymore, or soil. I'm just telling you, that is almost as toxic as you can believe. Even truck drivers found out that no one escapes the wrath of the Morgellons disaster, if you will, because many of them who still drive in some regions of the United States in open air countries and so on and so forth, they like to have the window open. It's nice outside. Can't see anything, but it's fuzzy out, but they like to have the window open. And they can do that on the open road because they're not on the interstates. Interstates are insanity. But those open roads that they drive on, well, truck drivers, in fact, I started getting a lot of reports back then, lots of Morgellons within those ranks of particular occupations, and so many more. municipal waste employees, in fact, have been afflicted with this thing for years and years and years. I mean, we found all these things out back in 2002 and 3, and so I could see an immediate line of trends emerging in occupations and how everything is afflicted by this. But that's grown to be exponential, Don, because it's designed to do so many different things that really that's what we can't all put our mind around, because it's just, well, why are they doing that? Why would they want to do that? If you answer that question with just, does it look like they're trying to exterminate humanity? If you can answer all those questions with that particular comment there, then I think we'll be able to understand all the above. But there is where the denial crust, which is the stickiest thing you ever could imagine in your life, got you stuck right on top of that matrix. The matrix of vacuum, by the way. That matrix, it's all around you. It's the HD wave. It's everything. Mm-hmm. And what we know is communication today. This crust is called denial. And some people cannot break free of that. Even if they wanted to, they can't break free. Okay, all you people, hey, have a nice day. Because we've broken free. We, in fact, are going to go this direction here because we already know we got these suckers on the run. And we are going to win.
Yeah. We hear a lot of cases of people who are getting more gallons. First of all, it's, you know, they're lied to when they go to a doctor. The doctor will say, well, you know, I'm checking through the physician's desk reference to see what kind of medication I can give you that, you know, I've never seen anything like this. I don't know what this is. You know, people have been told, well, this is just psychological. This is your imagination.
Well, they even invented a phrase for it. Delusional parasitosis.
Huh.
No, all the skin specialists and the skin, they in fact all came in harmonization of being able to tell anybody that came to them with that CDC supported phrase called delusional parasitosis. In other words, it's like if Carlin would say, it's like, now you're just imagining that there's bugs crawling underneath your skin. That's just delusional, you understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's just delusional. But it's not delusional. It's reality to you because you're living through it, but yet they're saying, don't pay attention to those really weird-looking hairs. Well, yeah, but this is great big black hair growing in my blonde hairs here. You know, don't pay attention to that. Yeah, but when you pull it out there, doctor, it's got this wicked-looking stuff there, which used to be, I thought was my skin, but it's not. What is that thing? And nobody is going to touch it. Well, matter of fact, a lot of L.A. offices of very, very huge amounts of doctors, in fact, started saying if they, in fact, try to make an appointment on the pre-interview with the reception about having a doctor's appointment, they, in fact, pre-screen them and ask them if they make them tell them why, of course, why they're going to make a doctor's appointment. What is it? And the first time that they mention something as this Morgellons can be described in so many ways, they're, in fact, banned from coming to the office itself, let alone have an appointment with a doctor. They've been banned from having anything to do with having a person who has somewhat self-avowal that they think they've got Morgellons syndrome, won't even let them on the property. Oh, and by the way, you speaking of Jan Smith earlier, her research capabilities, outstanding, and I absolutely thank her from the bottom of my heart for the outstanding job that she has done in understanding actually the science of something that no one else, in fact, has got a clue on how it works. But she describes it so profoundly, I think it is all just an honor to watch her, in fact, describe these things in the only specificity that she can without losing us. Because we don't understand how these things could exist, but they do. So that's where it's hard to explain some of this stuff, Don. It just goes into so many paradimensional directions, you know?
Mm-hmm. And this sort of dovetails with research that's come out, or let's say accounts of research that's been done in some of the secret government labs regarding what's called the Project Lotus, which is the search for the Ganesh particle. This is the particle that is responsible for life, as if this is just something, oh, you can find this, and then when you learn how to make things with this, create things with this, then you become God.
Hey, we'll do an infomercial, okay?
So
no, that's the insanity of that mind that's in that matrix, as if this is important, just as in the mind of the matrix and these reptilians that are trying to, in fact, create a microscopic black hole. No, you're not. We know what you're doing. We've already heard about the Tibetan tablets. We've done our research. You're trying to open this thing called Hell's Gate. Oh, you don't call it that? Oh, it's not politically correct to call it Hell's Gate? Guys, what is this thing? But see, it's the same mind that, in fact, perpetrates those types of concepts, and it just seems like the public sometimes just starts harmonizing. Oh, this is because, and they accept it, as you, I heard you say yourself, Don, they accept it as fact, because that's what they heard. But I think it goes way beyond that. I think it has an interstitial tie with HARP, and the HARP being able to, in fact, rub that into your mind, like embed it into your mind. Am I sounding like Carlin yet? They embed this stuff in your mind.
Yeah, they tell you what to think, what to believe. You know,
exactly. It's, and that is the mind control.
Yeah. And
see, they push people into those things. They can cause emotions, angst. Yeah. And in a conversation you and I had just this evening, earlier before the show, that's why I'm highly recommending. In fact, people get to know this small methodology that I've called finding out things that can protect you from this waveform. Part of it is acoustic, and part of it is microwave. And in fact, it does a number on your mind, and you don't even know that it's doing that to you. You don't know it until you start blocking some of this stuff out. The only way I can understand at this time, physically, you can physically deflect and absorb the microwave with the carbon in the charcoal. And in fact, the polymer itself, which is, it's just made out of a simple cellulosic base, which is called psyllium husk, and I found a very easy way to convert that into a simple urethane, a bridge polymer urethane, in a pan, if you will, or a ceramic bowl, and you, in fact, can make articles out of this by bonding this to two pieces of fabric. Now, put those, make up something that goes around your head if you're in a certain area. I'm going to say within 10 blocks of a cell tower. Any type of cell tower, I don't care what you think that tower is or who told you that's what it was, it's not. Verizon doesn't have anything to do with that cell tower. But in fact, Verizon owns that cell tower. Well, we all know that. But did you notice those really screwy-looking spools that are on, these white spools, like insulators or something? They're just white spools. And they come in stacks of 3, 6, and 9, mostly 6s and 9s. And they put all these aberrant things. That's the propulsion unit for the ELF wave. That's part of their scalar interferometry technology that is based on being able to drive an acoustic wave through the atmosphere, through your skull, into your inner ear, take out your pineal gland over an extended period of time, but it will do that, along with the microwave energy that they wrap around this waveform that, in fact, enters your head every time you put on a headphone, every time you sit down and hear an audio portion. It's everywhere. If it's HD, if it's digital, it's there. You just can't hear it. But the polymer, in fact, will super hydrodynamically dampen that acoustic wave. It dampens that wave. That means that wave can't go through your skull and jostle your alpha wave, Don. And when it jostles the alpha wave, that's when they put those affirmations. Lowry said that in his patents in, what was that, True, 1967? I know True, in fact, and I talked about this. But the Lowry patents describe exactly how they embed an affirmation into your brain using this technique. And the HD wave is the final antennae. In other words, that's how they get it to go through you. You can deflect that and super hydrodynamically, acoustically dampen the signal completely just by deflecting it or absorbing it with simple charcoal. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not wrong about these types of things. Charcoal's my stuff. Yeah. I've always been right about charcoal, and in this case here, it's just a very simple way of overcoming this because it can make you do just about anything they want you to do.
Yeah, it becomes an issue of frequency manipulation, you know, whether you want to call it a stop sign, a traffic light, a school bell, a fire alarm, a police siren, a tornado alarm, or, you know, a foghorn. They serve a purpose, don't get me wrong, but they're methods of frequency control. And then when you're getting into these exotic frequencies or frequencies produced by exotic instrumentation designed to do unnatural things, you're going to get unnatural consequences from them. And it's known, it's stated that HAARP is designed to bounce frequencies off the ionosphere. What do they expect to happen with that? You know, it's like blowing up nuclear weapons, testing nuclear weapons in the Earth. How many nuclear weapons can the Earth stand before the Earth fights back? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there is much truth in what you're saying, and there are many other methods. Those that studied this, Wilhelm Reich, for example, was murdered because of his research into orgone and these different modalities. And he was very specific about what to do and what not to do. And there's a lot of disinformation out there, a lot of people making orgone devices that are claiming it does this and it does that, and they do absolutely nothing except take money out of your pocket and put it in the person that invented the scam in the first place. That's not to discredit those that are making genuine orgones accumulators or generators, and so you're touching upon an area there where you have some experience. I've used one of these that you gifted me with, and I've noticed some differences. So yes, you're hitting the nail on the head.
What's enticing about that entire field of orgone energy is when you start using, generating, accumulating. With a natural magnetic field, which is the technique that I've used, I'll say a little bit more about that in just a second. But really, what happens? It's like seasoning of wood. It's like a fireplace that you burn all day on a cold day, and finally, it gets to that certain point where it's almost as if that heat. Not a grand heat, it's just a deep heat. You've heated up the entire hearth.
Mm-hmm.
Orgone energy does the same thing. It actually heats up, it seasons, but it's not meritorious in temperature whatsoever. I mean, but you in fact are able to, I believe it increases the temperature just ever so slightly. But if you understand, it seasons an area. It seasons the ground. The trees that are around it, in fact, take it down to the roots and is taking up into the branch and the campage and the trees and the leaves. And I believe that amplifies it. And I found out orgone energy, in fact, is amplified by live wood. Now, I know it makes perfect sense to a lot of people. If it's live wood, it's amplified because you have all the lignans and all the enzymatic process, the mineralization and the photosynthesis continuing in process. When this energy field, in fact, comes upon it, it's radiating that energy field, which is a right spin vortex. That's natural magnetic energy. It has a minus, a ground charge. So you're, in fact, putting into the atmosphere, into that tree, into the root system, the thing below you, you're putting in this very, very massive natural magnetic field with the aura of orgone as its carrier, and it carries a ground wave. That's why, in fact, it neutralizes incoming positronic systems like bad weather. Wasn't an old Doc Reich that in fact called it Orner or G-O-R, Orner. Okay, well, this I don't know where he got those words, but I just know that, hey, ground trumps positive all the time. Every time, the natural magnetic will trump electromagnetic of anything. And all these weather systems that we got coming in on are highly influenced by HARPS and its magnetic, electromagnetic field. Mm-hmm. So it's the field effect, in fact, that these natural magnetic fields have the most demonstrated capability into neutralizing and deflecting really, really bad weather. But it does the same thing underground in the subterranean. It forms something called magnetic cohesion. It increases the magnetic cohesion of the rocks in the substrata. And I don't know why I'm talking about this this late in the night, early in the morning, but I just thought I'd throw that in. We have a basic understanding of what we're dealing with now. Mm-hmm. and its usefulness. It's all useful.
There's something occurring in the universe where energies are increasing in frequency along the grids that you hear Jim Murray and I talk about. And, yes. And despite what's being done, all this negative stuff is being overcome for a variety of reasons. But, we're not trying to make people fearful here. We're trying to bring some understanding and thinking outside the box and really looking at what's going on. It's real easy to say, oh, this is an optical illusion. I really can't describe many optical illusions that I've experienced in my life, except there are times when I wish certain politicians had teleprompters in front of them so they could speak. At least someone's thinking. you mentioned,
I wish they were teleporters and we could just send them away with our remote,
the word or the phrase political correctness is an oxymoron of its own, because if it was proper to be politically correct, shouldn't we demand that of politicians? Let's look at things the way they really are. And then let's think outside the box and use this opening of the consciousness that's occurring. People want to know the truth. They want to know things. Well, it starts with knowing oneself and then recognizing how we all fit into the picture. We can look at our actions, which are destructive, and merely recognize that we're destroying life. And
yeah, drop self-guilt. That's it. Just everybody, just drop your self-guilt. Don't accept the guilt right now. It's just none of us can do anything differently than we're doing. But you start this opening of the consciousness really by dropping your own guilt. Maybe forgive yourself, but just do it for a little while, okay? You can rag yourself and worry yourself to death some other time. Right now, just open up a little bit, and that's all you got to do is drop your guilt.
Yeah. Suffering from Morgellons or seeing chemtrails is not a side effect of restless leg syndrome, what they call RLS.
fibromyalgia.
Everything's got to have three letters, It's got to have a numerical equivalent. There's a mystical formula, because this is alchemy we're talking about here. And these are ancient ritualistic practices to dumb down the masses and control, and it's evil. Now, there is a positive side to symbology and to mathematics, but it's not destructive. It's identifiable by its creativity. And creating cloud cover is destructive when nature intends for the sun to shine. It doesn't take a whole lot of outside-the-box thinking to recognize that and understand that. And an awareness of this, we encourage people to do the research on their own. There are many websites that feature this. Certainly, you mentioned Cliff Carnicom. Kanadachi's site's got some wonderful pictures that you can look at where fearlessly he's posting the crops of these sylphs that we're describing. And these aren't mythological creatures. They're real. And they can be seen and they can be photographed. Not with trick photography, not with Photoshop, just the camera. And
they're friendly.
Yes, and they're friendly. And they do participate in the cleanup process. And there are other ways that one can clean up the skies the same way. We've been having a ball with streams of storms that have been pushing their way through the Midwest day after day. And you know firsthand what I'm talking about there. The next visit, let's get into some of that. Okay. You're going to be with us August 25th again. So we are out of time, but I want to thank you. And, your statement about Atlanta, by the way, was very prophetic in a way, because one of our listeners faxed me a link to an article, 30,000 line up for housing vouchers. Some get rowdy. That's what's going on in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about Section 8 housing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, we got to calm them down.
So you're a bit prophetic. How are they treating you in Atlanta? Well, you can look for that article. I'll attach the link. Send the link to you.
Well, I know we got to go, but listen, appreciate your listeners being out there, and have a good evening and a good day tomorrow, and blessings your way. And Don, thank you very much, and I will be talking to you tomorrow, sir.
Okay, same here, and I want to thank you for your participation on the show and your insight and the work that you're doing. And a lot of people are after your vanilla ice cream recipe, so maybe you can share that the next time you're
Well, actually, I call that No Scream Ice Cream.
Okay.
It only comes in vanilla, but it's actually kind of a caramel stuff.
Okay.
Hey, well, listen, I enjoyed it very much, Don. Have a good day.
All right, you too. All right. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to another episode of Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's special guest, Dr. Michael Castle. Special thanks go out to Wind Talkers Radio Network for having us on. I also want to thank Seth Hendrick on the sound at BBS Radio, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Dr. A. True Ott. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.